You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, let's do this thing. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. You're on Wake Up Tucson. I'm Christopher DeSimone, wearing his beloved Hawaiian power shirt. On the other side of the monkey glass is our good friend Ed Alexander.
It is monsoon time, so we're just going to go out there and do a little rain dance. And so
I put it up on Facebook yesterday. KOLD News, live, local, and Bud Foster is calling this an action day.
Yeah, that means you should action watch them day. All day, every day. Big deal. Big deal. It's an action day.
It's going to be off the wall today.
For those who are just sitting on your couch and watch TV all day.
Supposedly, according to them, they're saying no triple digits and widespread showers, according to KOLD. So I don't care, Ed, what anything else says. We're just going to sell everyone that today. Widespread showers, you'll be fine. I think you should bring out your umbrella, your galoshes, or as we used to, we can't say this anymore. In the old days, your mother used to say, put your rubbers on, which was the thing that went over your shoe. So that's what you need today. Make sure your crappy windshield wipers are ready to go today, because it's going to be something else. If KOLD nails this, I'm going to give them all the props tomorrow. So we'll see how it goes. Hey, thanks to everyone who did an amazing job working with us together, be it the guests, John and Rick and Joaquin at the Biosphere. What a fun morning at the Biosphere. And, you know, it's something where it was that eye-opener for me. I hadn't been there for years. And I think I had a lot of the reaction that a lot of other folks did listening to this is Hitch put it on his Facebook page, right, where everyone's like, oh, the Biosphere. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an amazingly underappreciated tourism asset in Tucson, Arizona, and hopefully we started a little couple of stones and an avalanche of interest, because I think it's worth it. And you know, they need to do probably a little better job reaching out to the locals, and that's what they did yesterday. So we'll give them credit that it's a good day trip, and for people of all ages, as we like to say. So we had a group of about a little over 20 that showed up right before 9 o'clock, and they gave us a special 9 o'clock tour. And so that was great. Oh, we had this young lady, Caitlin, who was our tour guide. She was vivacious, informative, and all that good stuff. So thanks to John Adams, Rick Netter, and Joaquin Ruiz for a heck of a time yesterday. And we hope to do a few more similar projects with them in the future. Now, today's shoe, we have Danny Shearer from the Green Valley News, Sarita Sun. Lots of stuff to cover with Dan today. Then we have Allie Miller's going to be on today. So lots of stuff going on in Pima County. I think since the last time we saw her, they did approve a budget. And at the same time, we are now going to... They're going ahead, like I said, on Monday with the detention facility for asylum-seeking migrants. And then, of course, we got to go tap into some of that evil Stone Garden money to pay for it. Remember the Stone Garden money? If we take it, all the Hispanics in Tucson will never call the cops again. Do you remember that one? We have a cost of what it's gonna cost every month to do it, and we'll definitely talk about that. We got to talk about Trump and these four ladies in the Congress, and our good friend San Fran Nan. We got to talk about her today in relation to where she's at in all of this. And I don't know if this guy Trump does it strategically, like he's really thinking four steps ahead. You know, the triple level, you know, 3D dimensional future chess, like, you know, Spock playing in Star Trek. Or is it really... he understands how to tweak people in human nature, and he just keeps coming up kind of smelling like a rose on half of this stuff. I don't know. I don't know if it's like that or not, but I do want to talk about that a little bit today. We have to talk about how the Dutch Brothers phenomenon is going to take over a site for their sixth location. I even know they had six down here already. It's a place that we've actually talked about where the guy who originally tried to develop that site where it's at is a said he would never do something in Tucson again. Even Mike Varney, the previous Amber Smith at the Chamber, even he wrote a, you know, he was kind of like, this is like a problem that you guys can't even get figure out how to do a McDonald's in an old gas station spot. So somehow Dutch Brothers is overcoming it. So we'll talk about that.
For $1 million. They're paying $900,000 for that corner. That's a lot of coffees, friends. They're making way too much money selling coffee. That's just to build, that's just to buy the land, not to build. So it's $1 million to build the land, to build a property, pave a couple ins and outs at the corner of Alvernon and 22nd. $1 million for a coffee shop. Give me a break.
It's...
You guys are getting ripped.
Are you thinking the... Are you thinking the profit on a Dutch Brothers sugared up coffee is kind of high?
Pretty damn big.
Hey, God bless them, man. This is America, man. They can if the market's going to pay for it.
It's America.
Have a nice day. This is not even close to anything about. Oh, thank you, video. I know everyone needs to play their video for me on their news thing, Ed. Even if it's not a, you know, because someone told them they must automatically play videos for me. What else we got to do today? We got to talk about Sky Harbor is adding even more flights that Tucsonans are going to want to take before it's all over, which is not a good thing for our local airport. Oh, and Kirkpatrick. We'll talk about Ann with, he went to an event with Dan Shearer. And of course, now hopefully Ann knew what state she was in when she did it.
Oh, Ann. Oh, Annie.
She's Mrs. Peach impeached Trump person now.
Yeah, she's channeling Raul Grijalva. That's what she's doing. Yeah, you glad you voted for her, people? How dumb can you be? Oh well, I didn't like the other one. Well, you're screwed.
See, this is. But again,
yeah.
This is the problem with what
I don't like these people.
Here's the thing, right? Is so there's part of it is you're right. But the other part of it is, did the other person make it compelling to vote for them? And that's where you're at right now, right? Sad to say.
Yeah, but you ought to know better. Come on. Yeah, you ought to know. If you're, you don't have to vote party, but you have to vote conscience. Jeez. I mean, come on.
What Republicans, these campaign meisters learned is that they can no longer rely, when anyone in the room says, oh, these Republicans were going to piss off, right? They're just going to hold their nose and vote for us anyway. That was how they played it for years. And last year, especially in Arizona, that fell flat on its face. Ask Martha and ask Leah Marquez Peterson. Because there were plenty of Republicans who were not going to hold their nose and just vote. They just left the bubble blank. So, yes, Ed, you're correct. There is a conscious thing here. But the other thing is that what is the candidate themselves doing to make themselves at least look like they give a crap about the Republicans they think are going to vote for them? And that's the problem. And so, anyway, we'll talk about Dan. Dan went to an event with Ann Kirkpatrick. Talked to her for about like probably 2 minutes after that because they don't want her too exposed out there, I don't think. On anyone asking her tough questions. That's always been her modus operandi. So we'll see how it all goes. We got California homelessness. I know this is going to shock everyone, is off the wall. We have a Washington Post survey. This is the Washington Post surveying with a newspaper in Mexico what they think about asylum seekers. And it's, I don't think it's a, I don't, maybe it, some of it doesn't fit the narrative that some folks around here would like you to believe. So this is the Washington Post. This isn't, you know, the Washington Times or Washington Examiner or this. You can't get more. Remember, democracy dies in the darkness, Ed. So just remember that. All right, we come back. Let's talk about this whole Trump and the ladies. And either this guy's crazy. It's like crazy like a fox, I think. Because
I think so. Because he doesn't give a damn and he shouldn't. Just get on. Just lead the country and let them play. You know, and every time he tweets, they all freak out, and now they have another news story for another 24 hours.
All right, let's talk about Crazy Like a Fox in 2020 when we come back. 790-2040 is the phone number. WakeUpTucsonComments@gmail.com. You're on 1030 The Voice, local news and talk.
Hey, y'all. Wake up, Tucson. Good morning. It's 6:19. Ed Alexander with you at 10:30, The Voice. We've got a speed enforcement zone. Thanks, Al, for reporting that on northbound Sabino Canyon south of Cloud right now. Northbound Sabino, south of Cloud, looking for you. So stay the speed limit or close to it, eh? And we've got an accident reported to Orange Grove and Thornydale on the other side of the north up there. And for some reason, there were more people walking this morning, whether they were, you know, doing the exercise or they were just out and on the sidewalks and in parts of town where there are no sidewalks, walking wherever the hell they want in. But there are more. It must be the weather. Must be that Channel 13 thing. It's action day, so everybody is walking today. It's the strangest thing. I haven't seen that many people on the side of the streets for a long, long time. So be careful out there for the pedestrians, because you know what happens? They jaywalk. 30% chance of showers this afternoon, 40% tonight, 104 today after a record high breaking tie thing. We tied a record yesterday, 110 for the date. And it's about 35% humidity, 85, 86 degrees right now.
Look at it.
That's good for walking. That's a good pace for walking.
It's true. This is when I get on the loop at near Rito Racetrack there, the Chuck Huckleberry Memorial Loop. This is the song I totally listen to.
It's good. Boom.
Then as I'm walking, right, I have bicyclists just missing me by an inch.
Yeah?
And telling me I'm an F and A-hole.
Yeah, for walking on the pedestrian walkway, which is now they took over as a bike path. Everybody, it's a bike path. It's a 120-mile bike path is all you see on Facebook. Well, you know, it's actually a pedestrian
multi-use, said.
Oh, but don't bring your horse up here anymore. This is Tucson. We can't have horses, and we can't have people.
One day,
can't have strollers, but you can have lots of bicycles.
One day, a bicycle will hit a pedestrian,
right? Or a child in a stroller,
right? It'll happen one day. Sad to say, and then you know, then Chuck might want to change the name.
And
of
not
the
all of them are jokes. No, not really. They're not. There's a lot of really nice. You know what the word is, bicyclists out there on the path. But there's those who have to show everybody.
I get about 10 to 20% of them sometimes are just like, they're not warning you that they're coming.
Yeah.
They just cut it really close.
Yeah.
80% of them are just fine.
Yeah,
but there's, you know, it's just like the angry guy in his giant truck who keeps wanting to keep passing you and racing forward to red lights.
Big truck, yeah.
There's a similar mentality. This Trump guy, yesterday morning when I was getting ready for the Biosphere show, I was listening to that press conference he did about Tlaib and AOC and Presley and Omar. And again, I think it's more that he knows how to tweak people.
Mm-hmm. He sure does.
And look what he's done. He's taken the Democrat Party now because... Now, he was inaccurate in his statement, right? Where he said, you guys should go back to your country, fix those first, and come back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, only one of them is not from America originally. So that was inaccurate. And then he fixed it later kind of thing, that part of it. So now everyone's saying it's racist, right?
Did he say anything racist?
He said, go back to your country, fix it, and then come back. I think that's what he said. Now, someone wants to disagree with me.
Is that racist?
Well, anything that says about, you know, you're saying go back. Well, and of course, the idea that all four ladies are of, they're not Caucasian, right?
I mean, he didn't talk about
their
skin color. He talked about.
Now, if they were some sort of lady from Norway and said go back to your country and come back and then fix it, would that be hit as racist? Well, because that'd be she white. Hmm. So anyway, but that's what they got. Right, the racism card is last time. You know, for a lot of
he's a jerk. Can you believe
a
he's
lot
president.
Of Democrats? Yep. Yep. The race card has been overplayed like you would never believe.
It's the only thing he got. He's an a-hole. And can you believe he's president? I'm so embarrassed. Shut up and take your stocks and go on vacation like you already have.
So I got 23 people running for the Democrat primary. Billy number two just sent out the email that CNN is going to, you know, they're going to have like a lottery where they're going to pull 20 of these morons out of a hat.
They have to make news. So now the news is we're going to have a lottery. You have to watch to see who wins the lottery. Then you can watch to see who won. It's bull. It's made for TV. It's
like
news.
You know, when there's all of a sudden there's some sort of national TV coverage and they do that live thing during the NBA finals of the NBA draft lottery with the ping pong balls.
Yeah.
CNN's like, what should we do to bring excitement to these 20 duds of a human being?
Right.
Oh, let's leave three of them off the island, and we're going to pick the top 20 ping pong balls. We're going to rip off the NBA lottery to figure out who's on our debate. Well played, CNN. Hold on, I got to get my clap.
Clap
on, clap off. Thank you, CNN. Thank you. That was beautiful. So what has he done, right? He's like taking Nancy Pelosi's side. Against these four, right? But the more important thing is all the Democrats, because they have to do whatever against Trump, are running to defend these four folks. Now, the thing about the four folks, which is so interesting, is they're all about emotion and there's no fact, right? Concentration camps, kids drinking out of toilets, They're still in their press conference, the four ladies. We're still going to the Russian collusion thing on Trump.
Really?
Oh, of course. The Mueller report, of course, is crap. What else do we got from these young ladies? They got it all. She compared, for of course, Omar, the Al-Qaeda people are the same as the U.S. Army, is pretty much what I've seen out of her mouth. They try to minimize that. Trump probably overplayed it, as he usually does. But I don't think we're marrying off 10-year-old girls, the 58-year-old guys, and slaughtering people because they're Christian or something like that. But okay, so that's what she wants to do. Then what else do we got here today with the ladies? So they got their own problems, but look what we've done. Look what Trump did to these folks. They're all now they're the Democrat Party more than ever. Look at Charles Schumer. Him and Nancy are so pissed off that press conferences are now being covered more about these four ladies than either of them being the head of the Democrats in the House and the Senate. You know they're pissed off. All of a sudden, I got Schumer running around going, basically, America's racist in its bones, and we need to do slavery reparations. Right, whatever can come out of their mouths to get CNN and MSC to cover you over the four girls, that's where you're at, and you can't make it up. And I said it the day after the election in 2016, whatever day that is, add one day on this show. I told you that the 2020 election year will be the most disgusting political year you ever experienced.
I remember that. Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, 2020 is going to be the most disgusting year of politics. You want to see the independents grow? The amount of people who don't have a party?
Yeah.
Get through 2020. That everything has to have a side now, right? It's either you're a Democrat or a Republican on this side. That's how everything's being. The stupid Colin Kaepernick convincing Nike to screw over Betsy Ross. Flag. I do want to give credit. There's a house on La Cañada now, south of Orange Grove, that's flying the Betsy Ross flag out of nowhere.
All right.
Now everything's got to have a side. The U.S. women's soccer team has to have a side, right? And what have we learned? Megan Rapinoe is no different than MSNBCers or, well, CNN up until the release of the Mueller report. Mm-hmm. Mayor Pete Buttigieg. It's the idea that because Trump won the election, there is an industry of hating America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at. America is not so great, right? That's what they keep saying. Was never great, according to Mayor Pete. Never that great. So there's a cottage industry to hating America. Megan Rapinoe is looking for attention. She's just looking for a Nike deal. She wants to be the female Colin Kaepernick. She's in her late 30s. And Phil Mushnick, who writes sports in the New York Post, wrote a column about it. And he had one thing, to tell you why Megan Rapinoe is more about herself than being a part of a team, is when she scores her goals, right? She looks at the crowd and puts her arms up, right? Looking at the crowd saying, look at me. In the championship game, she did that when she scored on a penalty kick, right? Then Rose Lavelle, who's a younger player, who scored the second goal, she runs towards her teammates and they all hug each other, right? And I thought that was an interesting take, that Rapinoe runs to the corner and says, "Everyone look at me," while everyone's trying to hug her from behind. And Rose Lavelle ran to her teammates and gave them a big giant face-to-face hug. So I'm just telling you, we're in a world where everything is going to be, you know, we have people that make money that America is not great. That's where you're at. That's where, so, you know, we have people who make, they do their stupid clicks on social media that they get, this type of thing. I got it. But what Democrats don't understand is the best thing you could ever do with Trump is ignore him. Do you guys understand that? You haven't understood that. This is just, he's the perfect example. You ever heard the old adage, don't get in a fight with the pig, right? Because the pig's going to drag you into the mud, right? Just avoid going into the mud with the pig. Because what happens is, of course, you're both covered, at the end, you're both covered with blank, but the pig liked it, right? Well, all of you Democrats keep falling into this trap over and over and over again. And the best part is you're punching each other in the head while running towards the slop to go jump in the mud with Trump. Do you guys understand how stupid you look? And if you don't beat him, if you don't beat him in 2020, what are you doing? And I'm going to say, before I know, I got to go to break. You got to listen to the end of that press conference. He goes, there's these 23 people running for office. You know, you like your job. You like your hours. You like that your 401k is looking really good. He goes, go elect one of those 23 people in 2020, and it's all going away, right?
Yeah.
They want to roll back the tax cuts? What? Come on. Let's go visit some sponsors. We come back. Dan Shearer, Green Valley News. Wake up, Tucson. 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Let's get down there, the home of beautiful mountain vistas. Of course, golf cart drag races.
Yeah.
Dutch Brothers.
They got one too, huh?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Dan Shearer, Green Valley News. What's up, buddy?
All that and more. So much more. I tell you, we just met with the town development director, and we said, okay, we've just had this influx of all these fast food places. Now, when are we going to get the mid-level things? And we actually had a little kind of an on-the-street thing in the paper today saying, okay, what do you want mid-level? And the answers were like Applebee's, Olive Garden, BJ Brewhouse, you know, things like that. It's like, okay, more chains. We do have the mom and pops. Those are good. We're actually sending a couple of reporters down to Aravaca today because there is, believe it or not, a soul food restaurant down in Aravaca. And we're doing a series through the summer of ethnic type foods. I had dinner a couple weeks ago with a guy who made us some Louisiana Cajun, and boy, that was certainly interesting. And we've done Greek and Italian, and now they're going to go do the soul food. So it's been a kind of a gastronomic head in a direction that we're not, you know, used to here in Green Valley, but it's been fun. But I'm kind of thinking, you know, okay, the Applebee's and stuff, that's cool, but the mom and pops is where it's at.
So what we're kind of having a similar discussion in Oral Valley, all right? And we've had this discussion for a while in Oral Valley, is what in these bedroom communities that skew, well, we skew a little older, I don't know about Sarita, but definitely Green Valley, right?
Right.
Is the idea of what do they really want? And most I think 55 plusers that are retirees to Tucson prefer the Chili's over the ethnic place.
I think you're probably right. I think when they spend their money, they want to make sure that they know they're going to enjoy it, and they may not be as big of risk takers.
Correct.
But what they're looking for is a relaxing evening with people. The food is important, but the ambiance is every bit as important, and the people you're with are important. Have you ever had a miserable dinner, and usually it's not the food, it's the people you're with. And so people are just looking for an experience, and you and I have talked about that third place before.
Sure.
You know, and that's important to find that comfortable spot. And so that's what people are looking for down here. But our guy said, look, you know, you got the houses, you know, about almost 20 years ago, and then with that you had the basic services, you know, the fries and the gas station and that kind of stuff. And then we had the flood of the fast food chains, which is we're in the middle of right now. What is next? And is it that mid-level chain? And the answer is yes, but we got to find a place to put them and something that makes sense. And then hopefully a Home Depot or a Lowe's. Some people want that. I don't want that. I think that now will really turn us in a direction that maybe we don't want to go. And also, 15 miles up the road, not even that, at Spectrum, we have everything we could want. And so there's a lot of that stuff I would rather to kind of keep out of the community, but it would be nice to travel to Tucson as little as possible in the future. So we're trying to figure out who we are and what we want to be here.
The Oro Valley, my beloved Oro Valley, has over the years delusions of grandeur, okay? We're going to be the Scottsdale of Pima County. This is, I've heard it a zillion times. And a council years ago commissioned someone, gave him 50 G's to do what is the official retail match to the demographics that make up the Oro Valley and the surrounding area, right?
Yeah.
So the delusioners, of course, said, oh, it's going to be Neiman Marcus. It's going to be blah, 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 Nordstrom's, you know, the half of the Scottsdale Fashion Plaza. And what came back was Chili's, right?
Right.
You know, these, Ross.
Yeah. Right. Kind of, yes.
And those yes. are the things that are still kind of thriving in Oro Valley. For the senior demographic, that Oro Valley marketplace has a Red Lobster and an Olive Garden.
Right. Right. We would love something like that down here. And the problem is that we don't have the day traffic, the daytime traffic, like the office workers and stuff, to support it for the lunch rush.
Right.
We do probably for the evening, though. And so when we do have a couple of those places down here, and Pub 22 is one of them, and a couple of others like that. And they do fine business. But there's some other issues tied to that we won't get into. But we do have a little bit of it. But I do think people would really enjoy just, you know, kind of the basics. And again, the average age in median age in Sarita is 35, and so those people probably have two or three kids, and you take a family of five out to dinner in the evening, and it can get costly very quickly.
Correct.
So that's something to watch also.
I got a newspaper question to ask you. This is just straight journalism 101 question. I see when I know when you do a newspaper article and you're describing the people who are in the article who are elected officials, right? Do
right.
you, one time or every time you mention them, you must say whether that they're a Democrat or a Republican?
Well, do you one time or every time mention their first and last name? And the answer is that once is enough.
Right.
And that's the rule, is that you just let people know where they're coming from. And a lot of times at a local paper, sometimes we either forget or just don't, because pretty much everyone in this area knows. But yes, you should identify them one time. I think that some people use that and the word conservative or liberal as a hammer sometimes.
It's yes.
Like, oh, look what these Democrats have done, or look what these Republicans have done. We see that, and we've probably been guilty of it too, in the coverage of the Board of Supervisors. And because it's been so clearly divided among the three Democrats and the two Republicans for years.
I've seen some reporting lately. Those people remain unnamed, especially about the juvenile detention center thing with Pima County.
Yes.
That they keep saying when they refer to Napier, this like nine times Republican. Then I see sometimes when they mention a Democrat, sometimes they don't mention that. I'm seeing this weird inconsistency. I feel like you see a little bit of their bias because they keep wanting to say Republican and
right.
not always say Democrat all the time.
Right. Well, and there could be that, or could be just something you're seeing. I would say that the red flag should go up when they're identifying people by political party when they are not elected officials. And, of course, Napier is elected, and he ran
Correct.
As a Republican. And so when they bring it in and they're not elected officials, then you have to kind of wonder, okay, what's going on here? But you know what? That's a really good question. That's a good question. I would say that there are probably entities out there that use that as a pejorative, people's political parties.
You have quite a social calendar, Dan Shearer.
Yeah.
So Saturday,
that what we call
it? You were at an event with Representative Ann Kirkpatrick. So was this a Democrat Party thing? Was this a council on your corner thing? What was this?
No, this was La Posada, which is a retirement community here. Every once in a while, the representative, whether a Democrat or Republican, will go there because, again, Green Valley votes in high numbers, La Posada in particular. And she, it was basically a town hall, we'll just call it a little forum, and there were probably 100 people there packed into this little room. I'd say 99 of them were Democrats, and because they like her, but she just comes and she talked for an hour about the issues, and she took questions, and I'm in the process of going back through the tape because she hit so many different topics and would just kind of just say what's going on in Congress, and there were some real pertinent things, the surprise billing legislation that's going through Congress right now. This is people who have get dinged by a doctor out of network on their insurance and they don't know it. That's actually a real big deal right now. We talked about desalination plants. And then we talked about these four women you were talking about earlier today who are in Congress and all that is going on there. And it was really interesting because a person who I semi-know in the audience, I know he's a very strong Democrat, he raised his hand and he says, Representative Kirkpatrick, is there any way that you can tell AOC, Andrea Ocasio-Cortez, to shut up? Those were his exact words, to shut up. And Amp Kirkpatrick was, I think, a little taken aback and a little sheepish. And if you could just see her body language, what she wanted to say was, gosh, I wish we could.
Right.
Because, you know, she is sending things in the wrong direction. But she said, you know what, there are two reasons we need her. One is she reaches millennials, which, oddly enough, earlier in the speech, and Kirkpatrick had pointed out, it's very hard to get them to the polls anyway. And then number two, on occasion, with a vote, we need her. And so when you're in the House and you're trying to drum up all the support you need for a bill, you don't want her to turn on you because she'll take some people with her, which is interesting that she is suggesting that this member of Congress would use her vote as a club and, beat people into submission with it. And I think that's wrong, and that was very eye-opening, quite honestly. But we know that goes on, but they just don't actually say it very often. So I think Ann Kirkpatrick wishes that Cortazio, whatever her name is.
Say AOC.
Would serve her district because that's who she was elected, and then sit down and learn how to be a leader, and then in a few years rise up and be a leader. You are not a leader just because all the cameras are turned your way, and we call that believing the press or your press, and that is wrong, and I think that she has fallen into that and actually believes that she is influential and wise, and she is ultimately is neither.
Well, you're correct, because the thing that I feel like that gets AOC and some of these folks in, excited the most are retweets and likes, right? When they can't believe that there's 87,000 retweets of them saying, basically contradicting what the actual customs and border people are telling you, that people are living drinking out of toilets and all this other stuff. And once that gets retweeted 87,000 times, you go, damn, look at me.
Well, but, you know, what they forget, and we have to remember in journalism, is that what you see on social media is a very narrow slice of the reaction to your work and the input. And we should never formulate a newspaper based on what we see on social media. That is a certain group of people, but there are far more people there who are not plugged into that social media or understand that it just has gives us limited understanding of what people are thinking. So when you say, oh gosh, 87,000 retweets, well, 87,000 retweets in a country of 330 million is not very much. But she believes that actually means that she's influential and is going the way that people want her to. But again, to respond is one thing. To react is quite another. There's a big difference between the two, and she does a lot of reacting. And that's just not moving us forward.
Well, and then, you know, what percentage of those 87,000 actually will vote and do anything?
Yeah. Well, and Kirkpatrick said it, you know, and I've said it on your show before, you know, the year of the black voter, the year of the woman voter, of the young voter, of the millennial voter. Baloney, baloney, baloney. It just never happens. On occasion, you see a little blip, but it's never sustained, and it really is never a threat, and everybody knows it. It's people like me and you who will figure out the issues, go to the polls consistently no matter what. Those are the people you should be playing to, because the others say they're going to vote, and ultimately it's, no, I got to go play Dungeons and Dragons. I can't go vote today.
Dungeons and Dragons. Good reference there. Before we go to break, Ed's got a retweet. He's got a retweet update for us. What do you got, buddy?
Well, yesterday's retweet was 1.5K, 1,500, not quite 87,000. So however big the freshman congresswoman thinks she is, she's not.
Well, that's
neither
actually,
are any of the other
but
freshmen.
But those are Anchor Patricks that you're looking at, not looking at AOC. So,
right.
So
I don't want to look at AOC. I don't want anybody to see that I even went there.
So what's the chances, Dan? Don't touch this one. Ed, what's the chances that Anchor Patrick actually does input any of her own social media?
Zero.
Thank you. Let's go to break. One more segment with the great Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News. We have Allie Miller coming up soon, and then we have a young man who runs the Arizona, Chris Klein from the Arizona Broadcasters Association. Is he here? Mm-hmm. Wow, look at that. That's a good showing up early. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30. Uh-oh, look at that. All right, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson on 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Chris Klein from the Arizona Broadcasting Association going to be coming up right after Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News.
That means I better be pretty good, or otherwise he's probably going to, rate me or something like that from the Broadcasters Association.
You might get kicked. That's what I'm thinking.
That,
so
I'll get dinged.
Dan Shearer, tell us about this poor man that they found in the woods out there.
Well, back in February, we had a guy, 82-year-old hiker, who was part-time Green Valley resident, lived in Ohio also, and he got turned around up in the Santa Rita Mountains while he was hiking. He made a phone call about 4 o'clock, and it was an extremely cold day, ended up snowing that night, and the call to the dispatcher said, "I'm lost," and he indeed was. They said, "Sit tight, we have your position on GPS." He did not understand what that meant. He did not understand that you could tell where somebody was using GPS through their phone. And so he said that several times. He was confused, and he ended up leaving the place. He was actually on a trail at that point, and the search launched within an hour. They never found him, and they called off the search a few days later, so assuming that he was dead, and we knew that at some point he would resurface in one form or another. So last week, another hiker who got turned around ends up in this place where there is no trail, sees a couple of hiking poles, a shoe, a fanny pack with some keys in it, and there was an indication that it belonged to the lost hiker, and it did. So he was brought down from the mountain a week ago today, and his family was notified, and it was played out pretty much like everybody thought it would. Here's the disturbing thing in this, is when we heard the 911 tape back in February, we could tell that this man clearly did not understand how his phone functioned. And so we went to the Santa Cruz Sheriff's Department, which was in charge of the search, and mentioned that, and they just said, no, everything was fine. And now, all these months later, we find out that they actually did change some procedures as a result of that phone call. They're not admitting they did anything wrong, but they perhaps are acknowledging that people do not fully understand what they're saying when they say, stay there, we know where you are because of GPS, particularly if you are 82. So,
right.
So there is some good that comes out of it, but we're going to continue to look into that in our Nogales paper also, because it was very troubling, and again, clear. We were the ones who obtained the 911 call, and it was very clear that he didn't exactly know what was going on. This is, by the way, the reason that newspapers get those types of phone calls, is because they do have value in this type of a situation. TV probably gets them because it makes great TV. We get them because it actually can... you can actually get some news out of it.
And you actually received a tip on this from a listener of Wake Up Tucson, is this
yes,
true?
Yeah, I sure did. A guy from Quail Creek, if Bill is listening, thank you. What had happened is that the man who found the remains of the hiker has this very popular blog, and he blogged all about it. And he said, and tomorrow I'm going back up with them to the authorities to show them the spot that I found. And so Bill, the listener from Quail Creek, tipped me off to this, and I was able to get a hold of the sheriff and of the blogger and just kind of get the whole story, and it's on our website. So I really appreciate that, and Bill knows who I am because of your show.
Best listeners ever. That's they're amazing.
And I'll tell you, that's the second time in a week that somebody who has mentioned your show has gotten a hold of me because I had been on the show. So so you are of value to me.
Finally, as you said in your email, finally, D. Simone's of value to you.
Taking what, 8-10 years?
Thank you,
yeah,
sir.
So, sure, I'll take it.
All right, let's take one quick call about our... Is he still there? Oh, okay, he had a thing about the Kirkpatrick AOC thing. So the question I have for you, one more thing. You guys had a horrible pit bull attack in the area again.
Yeah.
Another. Is this, what do we know about the dog? We got about a minute.
The dog, there were two attacks, and the dog in one of the attacks went after a child who was visiting from out of state, and the owners were pretty horrified and said, we don't want the dog back. We realized that this dog can be vicious, even though it's always been great to our family, and that is that. The other attack involving a pit bull was at a party, and it went for someone's leg, and it was a very chaotic situation. Lots of people at a house, and it was on 4th of July and everything. So we've had two of these, and I know people get after me because, oh, they're pit bulls, and you're just going after them. You're breed shaming. Well, all I'm saying is look at the numbers, look at the facts. That dog is responsible for more attacks than all of the other dogs put together.
And neither dog came from pack, right?
No, we didn't check that out. I don't know. Great question.
Thank you very much. Dan, thanks for calling as always. Stay cool down there, buddy.
Thank you.
Dan Shearer, Green Valley News. Chris Klein, Arizona Broadcasters Association, coming up next. Wake up.